Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, talking high school sports here for the next 15-20 minutes. I'm Brad with Dalton, as you heard in the intro, talking about high school football mostly because we are, of course, in the midst of the high school playoffs. 2A, 3A, and 4A got it going last week. This week, 1A, 5A, and 6A get things going, Dalton. So we're in it now. We're in the thick of it.
Yeah, we are. And this is whenever the best teams are playing and some really good games. But, you know, we dropped down to, what, about 15 to 20 teams left and out of 50 schools.
In the area, yeah, so. Something like that. So, yeah, we've got had plenty of good games last week that we're going to touch on. We'll look ahead to some big matchups, including a couple of big playoff games involving two area teams in each game. Going to be a couple of good ones there to watch. Going to talk a little bit about cross country and basketball. Cross country just finished up with the state championships. Basketball is now underway, and Dalton has already been out to a couple of games. We'll have athletes of the week, as we always do. So we got a packed show here on this Wednesday, the 8th of November. Okay, let's remind you before we move on that you can listen to this podcast in iTunes, any of your podcast apps. Google Play, also stream it online, preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at djournalpreps. Well, last week, Dalton, was kind of crazy and maybe unprecedented in a lot of ways. It's the weirdest weekend of football I think I've probably experienced because we had this huge weather system roll in on Friday with lightning and strong winds and a lot of rain, and it ended up delaying a lot of games, postponing several games. Some games never even got started, like Walnut and West Tallahatchie. They just never got to kick off, and they moved that game to Monday. West Tallahatchie won that one. You had some that got started, like the one I was at. We'll start with that, with North Pontotoc hosted Humphreys County in the first round of the 3A playoffs. And we got to halftime of that game, and they were like, okay, Lightning's in the area. We're going to suspend play, and the Lightning just, I mean, what was weird? In Ecru, it barely rained, but the Lightning was all around us, and there was plenty of rain elsewhere, just down the road in Pontotoc, for example. They got flooded out there at the Pontotoc New Hope game. So we had to all come back Saturday. So I got to go to Ecru 2 days in a row, which, you know, very, very good hospitality, good folks down there. I was glad to be able to spend some time there. I got to see the inside of their new dome, as they called it, their tornado shelter. You see these popping up all over the place. Tupelo's got a few now. So we waited out the weather for an hour and a half before they finally called it on Friday and came back Saturday night. And North Pontotoc finished off the game 42-16 over Humphreys County. It was not a pretty game for North Pontotoc. Don't let the score fool you. It was 21-8 at halftime, and really it could have been closer. They could have been trailing at halftime. The thing is, Humphreys County, athletically superior to North Pontotoc. I mean, they had some legit players, but they had no discipline. Almost every big play they had a penalty. I think they got penalized like 19 times, 12 in the first half. And I had one or two touchdowns wiped out. And eventually North Pontotoc, just very well coached there by Andy Crotwell, and they've got Clark Mills at quarterback, and they just eventually made the plays they needed to. They had a weird issue in the first half on Friday where they could the center – could not get the ball to Clark Mills. In fact, there was two occasions where the ball went straight over his head, and North Pontotoc took like a 25-30-yard loss in the first half. So that kind of plagued the Vikings throughout that first half of play, and then they come back on Saturday. They get down to the one-yard line, another snap over his head. Ball pops up in the air. Humphreys County player picks it off and goes 97 yards for a touchdown. Suddenly it's 21-16. They made a change at center after that, and things went much smoother. Mills scored on three straight possessions there, I think it was, on running plays. Had a huge game. He accounted for all six touchdowns, two passing, and four on the ground. And North Pontotoc did go on to win that game that took 2 days to finish, 42-16. And got a big matchup coming up this weekend that we're going to talk about in just a bit. Your game, Dalton. Tupelo finished out its regular season undefeated, taking care of Oxford 34-8.
Yeah, and they had no issue at all, no weather issues, nothing.
No, they got it in.
wasn't even rain, wasn't even a drizzle until about 20 minutes after the game. So
wow.
Everybody got out of there and was good.
Well, good.
No, Tupelo, they went back to what they were doing all season. You know, they had a couple weeks where they weren't really running the ball with Jaquarius Williams very much.
Yeah.
And this game they fed him. I think he had the most carries all season, about 31.
Wow.
Had, I think, 100 plus yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah, 139 yards. Yeah.
Yeah, and the defense did what Tupelo's defense does. They forced six turnovers and a turnover on downs. They caught four interceptions.
Wow.
And they just dominated the entire game. They had four interceptions in that first half. They made Oxford change quarterbacks at halftime. And John Marr came in. He had a little more luck at quarterback. He can a little dual threat. He can run a little bit. But they still couldn't get much going. The only touchdown they scored was a trick play.
Ah, well, yeah.
They had a running back, though, a 22-yard touchdown pass to a defensive lineman. So,
well, you got to pull out all the stops against Tupelo, that defense, man. You know what they say, defense wins championships. You seen that commercial? It's probably for some. I can't remember who it's for. It's like this group of people that are turning into their dads, and they say dad things. It's pretty funny. One of those is, now I find myself saying that defense wins championships, and the lady next to him goes, well, it does.
I haven't seen that.
It's a cliche, but it is true. And if Tupelo is going to win a championship, which I think it's capable of doing, it's going to be because mainly of this defense, as we've talked about just about every week, because they just keep turning in dominant performance after dominant performance. So Tupelo heads into the playoffs undefeated. We'll talk about their matchup here in just a minute. In 2A, Baldwin at home shutting out a pretty good O'Bannon team, at least on paper, coming in 28-0. And, of course, they were playing without John Drix Robinson, had a little extra inspiration, the star running back that injured his leg very badly in a motorcycle wreck the previous week when Baldwin did not have a game. They were off for the final week of their regular season. But got a good game from John Swinney, the quarterback. I think he had three touchdown passes, about, 240 yards passing off the top of my head. And then Baldwin gets an impressive, and the defense played really well. 230 for Swinney passing. The defense played really well. And that's a good defense at Baldwin.
Yeah, and the defense is two straight shutouts. You know, I saw them in that last game against East Union, and they shut them out. And then you just saw them; they shut another team out. The thing that impresses me though is John Swinney. Honestly, the first seven games, he only had one touchdown pass.
Yeah, he struggled.
Yeah, and it was one touchdown pass and three interceptions. And then the last four games, he has nine touchdown passes.
And I was talking to Michael Gray before the game last week about that, and he was like, "Yeah, we know." Kind of what he did was he just got Swinney a little more involved in the running game. And he said that seemed to help for whatever reason. Just, you know, he gets hit a few more times, and I don't know, it's just maybe gets the juices flowing, and just it brings a little more balance to his game to be able to run and throw, opens things up in the passing game. And he's played really well, yeah. The last four games, I think he's played his best football.
Yeah, I wish, you know, I came here and I started in July. All I heard was John Swinney's a really good quarterback from Baldwin.
And he is. He had a great year last year.
He is good, and I wish I would have seen the way he's playing the last four games all season.
Yeah.
But, you know, better late than never.
Yeah,
right?
And this is the best time to be playing this way. And so, you know, the way he's playing, even without Robinson, maybe Baldwin makes another deep run. They do that most years. I mean, they've got Corion Dawes, who he had, I think, about 60 yards rushing. So the run game is, you know, it's going to probably suffer. It has to, because you don't have another John Drix Robinson out there, I don't guess. But they got the win, and the defense, you know, you shut them out. It's not too hard to win.
They got a tough one with Philadelphia this week.
They sure do. Philadelphia is always a good team. That is at home, though. Mm-hmm. It's at Baldwin, so could be a fun one there. We'll be at that game, among others. That brings us to some key games to look at this week. We'll look at three in particular. First, Dalton, your game, Tupelo against Warren Central. This is not going to be a typical 1-4 cakewalk you see a lot of times. Warren Central shut out Starkville a couple of weeks ago, didn't they?
They did. Yeah, I did a little bit of research on them, and they are not your typical 4 seed.
No.
They have three losses on the season by a total of 18 points.
Yeah.
So they lost to Pearl 28-21. Pearl is arguably the best team in the state.
Yeah.
And they led by 14 at the end of the first quarter against Pearl.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough division, 2-6A. And 1-6A is as well, but 2-6A. When you got Starkville in there, you got Warren Central, you got Clinton. I mean, it's just a really stacked division.
Yeah.
And so this is not a 4 seed type team.
No, it's not. It's like after they lost to Pearl, they lost Northwest Rankin by 7 points.
Yeah.
And they lost to Madison Central by 4 in overtime, which they actually led 17-9 at one point. So they're doing well. They just, it seems the big games, they haven't been able to finish.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're only a couple plays from winning those games and being undefeated.
Well, they got a pretty good defense, too. They're giving up 12 points a game. Tupelo gives up about 9.9 a game. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I could see, you know, one of these 14-13 ball games, one of those type games.
Warren Central's defense has played really well as of late. They've only allowed 10 points in the last four games, three shutouts.
Wow. Yeah. So, you know, Tupelo, again, I think they're a favorite, but every week of the playoffs, man, it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be. There's no easy wins like you see a lot of times early in the playoff matchups, not for Tupelo anyway. So that game will be at Tupelo. Houston and North Pontotoc in 3A. This is going to be a fun game. We'll have John Wise at that game. I kind of wanted to be a little bit selfish and go cover that myself, but I was just there last week. Although I'll be going back to Corinth for the third time in 5 weeks. Houston and North Pontotoc have two of the maybe the two best quarterbacks, certainly the two best dual threat quarterbacks in Northeast Mississippi, I would say. You got Uriah Shepherd there at Houston. You've got Clark Mills, we just talked about, over there at North Pontotoc. And, you know, they're different types of quarterbacks. I mean, they're both dual threats. But I would say Shepherd is, his strength is more running than throwing, although he can certainly do damage throwing the ball. Mills, probably he's a better throwing quarterback, I would say. I mean, again, he can run it too, but just different types of dual threat guys. I mean, just looking at the numbers, though. I mean, Shepherd, he's passed for 1,247 yards, 7 touchdowns. He's rushed for 1,623 yards and 23 touchdowns. And then you look at the numbers Mills is putting up. He's thrown for 3,212 yards, 33 touchdowns, only 5 picks, and Shepherd with just 4 picks. And Mills has rushed for 807 yards, 17 touchdowns. I mean, This is probably going to be one of those games that could break the scoreboard.
Yes, it could.
Because, again, Houston has some really athletic players. It's not just Shepherd. You got Quentin May and Jalen May and guys like that. And Humphreys County, again, Humphreys County had a lot of success against North Pontotoc's defense. It's just that a lot of those plays got wiped out by penalties. And so I think in Houston, I mean, the numbers they've been putting up this year are ridiculous. They've had some 600, 700-yard games of total offense and had another good game against MS Palmer last week and a win there. So Houston, North Pontotoc might be your best game of the week. Look for our coverage on that one. Another game ought to be good. Again, this is where I'm going. Pontotoc at Corinth. Fascinating little matchup. You've got Pontotoc with one of the best defenses in 4A in the state against that wing T attack that has had a lot of success there. Todd Lowry in his second year running that. He's got that two-headed monster, the Patterson kids, Tam and Zach Patterson. See if I can find their numbers here. I've got them. Yeah. Combined, they've rushed for about 2,000 yards and 26 touchdowns on the ground. Patterson also can do a little bit of damage in the passing game. They don't throw it a whole lot, John D. Warren, the quarterback, but they have. I've seen them throw it effectively when they've had to. I mean, I've covered two of their games over the last month, and so Tam Patterson, he's the real deal, man, and Zach, too. And it's just going to be interesting to see because Jeff Carter, head coach at Pontotoc, he's got really good defensive coaches, and he's told me before, you know, when it comes to game planning, he lets the defensive coaches do their thing and has complete faith and trust in them to shut down the opponent, and that's what Pontotoc has done all year. So now they get to face this wing T attack that you don't see a whole lot of these days, and I'm really interested to see how Pontotoc handles that. This will probably be like the opposite of that North Pontotoc-Houston game. I could see this being a really low-scoring game, which Pontotoc had last week. They had to win 6-3 in that flood against New Hope, and the defense came up with huge plays, as it has all year. So that could be a fun one. I don't mind defensive struggles. I like those kinds of games. I'm the kind of guy, Dalton, that likes a pitcher's duel in baseball. Some people want to see all the home runs, 10-8. I love watching a 2-1 ball game, you know, seeing Clayton Kershaw go up against Dallas Keuchel, whatever, you know, like we saw in the World Series. So, that's just a handful of the games. A lot of good games coming up this weekend. Look for our full coverage in the Journal and at djournal.com. Real quick, I want to mention the cross-country championships were held this past week, last Saturday and Monday, down there in, Ridgeland, I guess. No, Clinton. And had some champions. The Corinth boys won there in 4A, East Union girls in 2A, Saltillo girls in 5A, TCPS boys in 1A, and Myrtle girls in, are they 1A or 2A now?
don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. The guy that just got back into the sport suddenly can't remember. Yeah, I think there are 1A. Anyway, congrats to all those teams for winning state titles in cross country. Basketball has started now. Dalton, you've been out to a couple of games. You've seen Starkville's girls and Tupelo's girls. So you've seen two really good 6A teams there.
Yeah, I have. Starkville, you know, they were handed the 6A state championship after was Olive Branch.
Olive Branch had an ineligible player, so they got it pulled, and now they've made Starkville the de facto champion, which, you know, that's good for them. It's not the same because you didn't get to celebrate it on the court.
Yeah, but no, they opened up against Belmont, and they absolutely dominated in the paint. And yeah, Belmont couldn't do anything with the physical presence that Starkville had in the paint. And
yeah,
they had Kirsten Thompson, who stepped in. You know, they lost a really good paint player to Southern Miss. I can't think of her name right now, but she's at Southern Miss now.
Yeah.
So Kirsten Thompson came in, scored all 12 of her points in the paint. And then Jalissa Outlaw just shot whatever she wanted to shoot and made everything, basically.
Yeah, and that's a good win against a good 3A Belmont team. I mean, people know that's a team that's going to get down to Jackson to make a run at a state title pretty much every year. So, good win there for Starkville. And then again, and that was on Saturday at the Hound Dog Classic, which continued Tuesday. You saw Tupelo beat Horn Lake.
Yeah, I did. And this one was a little different because Saturday after the Starkville game, I saw Tupelo's girls play also, and they played Lafayette.
Right.
But they had what is arguably their best player, I think, Shamaya Carruthers. She got injured in that first game quick, and she's about to have an MRI.
That's not good.
But Coach Matt Justice said they needed somebody to step up, and they did. They started a freshman guard in her place, and she had a big game. I think she finished with 11 or 12 points.
Yeah.
She hit a devastating three for Tupelo. Horn Lake was on a 9-0 run, cutting into the lead, and she just hit a three-pointer and one, but she didn't get the and one. So that would have been really nice.
Yeah, I was talking with Matt Justice before the season. He says he really likes three or four of these freshmen that are coming up that he thinks can be really good. He really likes the potential of some of those younger players. And of course, they got best wishes to Carruthers. Don't know what that's how that's going to turn out. They got Jalancia Kohlheim as well. She had a pretty good game last night.
She did. She finished with 12 points, 13 points. 12,
13 points, yeah.
And she was that physical presence they needed. She just
– yeah.
Whenever they needed to make her shot, whenever they needed someone to make a shot, she was in there inside the paint, mid-range. But Janiyah Hinton was that freshman that stepped in, and she was that outside presence. I think she hit one or two threes. She was a really good shooter for them, freshman.
All right. Well, a little bit of hoopage we try to sneak in here as we're in the middle of the football playoffs. Let's wrap up the show with the Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, honor a male and a female athlete for their exploits on the field of play. Female athlete, just mentioned her, Jalissa Outlaw of Starkville, in that win over Belmont on Saturday, 22 points. Big game for her. Again, a 52-37 win over a really good Belmont team. Male athlete of the week, Clark Mills. I think he's been honored once or twice before, Dalton. He put up numbers like that. He had 282 yards for North Pontotoc passing, two touchdowns passing. On the ground, 176 yards and four more touchdowns. So Clark Mills really making that offense go there at North Pontotoc. That's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks again for tuning in. Every Wednesday we come to you. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dalton's on there at DLMiddleton8. And hope you get out to watch some football or some basketball this weekend. We'll see you next time.